Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
Today we're going to dive into the Hack Motion device, one of our favorite training aids, obviously from past episodes, you know that. But it is a fantastic training aid, not only for coaches, but for players alone. And we're going to talk about what we like and how we use it in our lessons today. Eric, you're a big fan of this. How do you use it in yours?
Hack Motion primarily has, it measures three things. It measures the radial and ulnar deviation of your wrists, which is kind of thumbs up, like hinging or wrist cocking and unhinging or uncocking of your wrist. It measures flexion and extension, arching or bowing your wrist, and cupping. And it also measures kind of the rotation of your wrists throughout the swing. I don't use the rotation side much. It can be useful. But I teach a lot of lessons where I use the Hack Motion to measure either the radial and ulnar, right, wrist hinging and unhinging, or more often, the palm reflection or extension of the, often the left wrist. You can put it on the trail wrist as well. Because a lot of people try to square the face by kind of throwing the right hand at it as a righty and cupping the left wrist through impact, when really everyone good, the wrist is going into extension, it's moving toward extension through the hit, but it's arriving still in some amount of flexion. Depending on grip strength and stuff like that, a stronger grip will be a little bit more extended than a weaker grip. But I use it a lot in the full swing to measure flexion and extension.
Yeah, I use it a lot as well for flexion extension. Obviously, at times used it for radial as well. But I oftentimes will get players in their setup whose lead wrist is way too flexed, and they just leave it flexed the entire swing, right? And I just had a guy the other day who came in, was that sort of scenario, was probably like 10 degrees flexed at setup, handles really high, leaning forward, gets to the top, he's still in flexion, gets the impact, he's even more flexion, right? The golf ball is just not doing what he wants it to do. And you start to have this discussion with him, and I say, just get this number to move to a positive number. It's interesting to me to watch people's sort of face cringe, their eyes cringe, their nose sort of cringes up. Well, how would I do that? And they physically have to sit, look at your iPad and play with the handle and see what that feels like. The comment that this guy made was, oh, I thought you were just supposed to lock your wrist out and sort of keep them there. And so again, a concept in this simple device that sets up in like 2 minutes, they can see the feedback from the iPad, can all of a sudden change what their wrists do, which is going to change what the club is doing.
Yeah, I agree. The nice thing about the device is that, you know, not saying as laziness into a coach, but it's like, hey, here's your baseline. Here's your first couple swings. That lead wrist is extended by, I don't know, 12 plus, right? And that's their swing, and that's leading to the ball starting out to the right. All I want you to get it to is, let's get it to 6. If we get it to 6, where does that lead? What does that feel like to you? And they just hit a couple shots, and it's like, all right, nope, that's still 11, right? Okay, let's go the other way. Let's get to 0. Hit 1 at 0, real slow, and also they hit it, and it's like 6. And they're like, wow. That's 6. I need it to be there. And like, yep, that's it. All right. Okay. So now we got a feel for what we want to be. Hit a couple more exaggerating that until we can get below 6. And then once we get below 6, we can speed it back up. And this is one thing that, you know, we've chatted about this before, is how we like to use it. So for me, once I get them to set it up, it's like, okay, hit a couple shots. Here's your baseline. All we need to do is improve your baseline. It's not like we even need you to get sometimes into those greens, because that green might not match the rest of the parts of your swing. However, the unit is so good at being like, once it's calibrated to that student, you just need to change that number. And then that number gives them a feel, and that feel enables them to hit good golf shots.
Right. And those numbers change a little bit. If you are comparing yourself to the Hack Motion, comes with some graphs and things showing like this tour player pattern or that tour player pattern or things like that. It's important not to get too caught up in the actual numbers of those tour player swings, because we don't know exactly where the wrist was when it was calibrated as neutral. But the shape of those graphs is important, right? And how a little bit the dynamic range, like how much it's moving into flexion or extension or hinging or unhinging and stuff like that. Not the actual numbers, not the specific numbers. You don't need to be mass Dustin Johnson's number at the top of the backswing if you need to feel a little bit more of that in the backswing, because we don't know where you calibrated versus where he calibrated. So just matching the general shape and making the line kind of move in the right direction and the right amounts can be important. I have a question for you guys. What's the most common pattern that you see? Let's just talk flexion extension, right? Cupping and arching and bowing of the left wrist. The most common pattern you guys see?
I mean, lately, honestly, as funny as it was when we were talking earlier, is I see that like rolled, the lead arm rolls early. And as it starts rolling, they're either going to do two things. So one person's going to start cupping it, okay, to start trying to hinge that club up. Or the other person that's trying to keep the face from opening because they're rolling there, then they flex it down. Both are not really good patterns. And so, again, the hack motion is great. And I use it for both those patterns. I go, okay, you can see as soon as you start working off that golf ball, we're not radial deviating that club enough, right? It's going flat behind you. And then the wrist is going into whichever way that I don't want it to go. And then it's like, okay, here's your graph. I want the graph to look like this. I want a couple of these numbers to change right away. As soon as you're starting to work off that golf ball, then once that feel goes in, then you can complete your swing. That's, you know, what I see is first bit, not hinging early enough. And then the wrists sort of get out of whack, whichever way up or down. I see sort of both.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the most common pattern that you'll see. I also will see a lot again from kids and women where they're just, you know, flexing the lead wrist and not radial at all at the top. There's still an ulnar deviation at the top. A lot of flexion, a lot of ulnar. For those players, what I like about the hack motion a lot is you can put it on the biofeedback. And I don't like them to hit balls with this, but I like them to make like freezer swings where they're just stopping at the top and it will make the hum. It'll sort of make that buzzing sound, and the device will actually vibrate when they're in the right spot, so that they can go really, really slow and feel what some extension of the lead wrist and some what radial feels like, and not necessarily have to watch their hands as they go back. I love it for that.
You'll have them freeze at the top, make the angel noise.
Yes.
And then swing down from there.
Yeah. And sometimes I won't even have them swing down, right? Just make some backswings and feel that, and like, talk to me about what's it feel like. I'll video it. I'll show them the difference on video between what their normal move was and what that move is. And a lot of times they're, again, really, really surprised by what it looks like versus what it feels like.
Yeah, the wrists are tough. They're out of sight very quickly. And so you'll get people like, I mean, when I'm practicing my swing, sometimes I'll watch it go back, and I'm doing a rehearsal, I'm not making a swing, but I'll watch my wrists go back to see what they're actually doing. And then I'm paying attention to what it feels like, and I'll look back at the ball and then feel that same thing and know it's pretty good, but I might glance in a mirror or two. The hack motion's great because they can do the motions in front of themselves while they watch it. I'll put the iPad, you know, a foot outside the golf ball, not so close that they might ever hit it, but a foot outside the golf ball so they can look down at that, still be kind of looking at the ball, and go to the top of their swing and move their wrists around and just experiment with it without having to look that way,
yeah,
which can mess with so much.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And just move it around, because I don't know what it is, but some people feel like they're across the line when they're laid off, and some people feel like they're laid off when they're across the line, and some people feel like they're twisting the wrist the other direction. I don't know if it's because it's like 150 degrees from where they were at setup, or you know, I don't know what causes that, but some people feel things almost backward.
Yeah,
from what you see. And if they just look at the iPad and be like, we need your wrist to go this direction,
yeah,
because it goes this way too much, they can just look at the iPad and watch the little 3D model of the wrists and the numbers move around and see what it does. And or they could play that sound. You can set up the biofeedback and play that sound and then kind of swing down and chip the ball from there.
Yep.
And oftentimes I'll say, like, look, you can still make a golf swing from there. It feels strange. It's not robbed you of your ability to hit the golf ball. You can still make contact. We just need to do that slowly enough that you can do it every time and then build up from there. The wrists are tough. They're out of sight very early in the golf swing. Are you looking to enhance your golf swing with precision and consistency? The HackMotion Golf Swing Analyzer is your personal coach, offering real-time feedback on wrist positions throughout your swing. By pinpointing common faults like casting and flipping, HackMotion provides tailored drills to help you perfect your technique. Its user-friendly app, paired with the cutting-edge lightweight sensor, delivers instant data, allowing you to make adjustments on the spot. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned golfer, HackMotion is designed to elevate your game. Experience the difference and take control of your swing today. SpinAxis listeners can save 5% with the coupon code SPINAXIS at checkout. Visit HackMotion at hackmotion.com.
it's like I said earlier, like you literally can see people when they're doing this with the device on or looking at the iPad, you can just see their brain going, man, this is crazy. This is feels so different. It's so strange, you know, and sometimes like, just like you said, it's like, hey, you just need to experiment here, like play with it and enjoy seeing those numbers change. Enjoy the little hand moving back and forth on the iPad. And then let's talk through what that feels like.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's feedback, which we've harped so many times. You need some form of feedback if you're going to practice. And that feedback should be giving you some feels that obviously when you go out to golf, it's like, all right, when I was doing it with the hack motion, that felt like this, that gave me that motion. And then that enabled me to hit a good golf shot. It's the feedback that's key, that it really is obviously awesome at.
Yeah. Sometimes I will have a lesson with someone and I'll be like, okay, I like to gamble a little bit with my students. I don't actually bet them money. I'll tell them, okay, you owe your mom 15 minutes of chores.
I like that.
Of her choice. If you lose this and if you pass, I'll give you 30 minutes to play on the sim sometime when I'm here taking lessons and you're just here. So, you know, I'm not charging 12-year-olds extra money or anything, but they have to do some chores for their mom fairly often. And I'll keep the iPad far enough away from them that they can't go over and delete some stuff. But I'll be like, okay, I have my next lesson coming, but I want you to go over there and make 30 swings. Take your time to do them. But they all have to be this number or higher. You get two passes. You can mess up twice, but they all have to be this number or higher or this number or lower or something like that. We'll gamble a little bit like that. It gives them a challenge. They can glance at the screen from 20 feet away and see that it was a green number or a big number or whatever. And they'd be like, okay, I did it again. Now we do it again. And, you know, you can glance over and see them shaking their heads now and then, be like, oh, crap, I just used up my second freebie. I really got to grind now, you know. I like that you can kind of give a student something to practice away from you, and it's feedback. It's like you're there with them saying, like, so long as we leave it here on your wrist and you don't mess with it and, like, change the whole orientation of stuff, it can be a good way to do feedback. Putting. Putting is an underrated way to use the hack motion. I used it with my daughter. I've measured myself just a few times. I'm a pretty good putter, so I don't need to change too much. But I use it in putting a lot. Putting is weird. A lot of people love to, like, flip the putter. You know, they add a lot of left wrist extension. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. They add a lot of left wrist extension through the hit. And an underrated part of putting is how much you deviate radially or ulnarly. I don't think that's a word, but how much you hinge the club up and down. Because if you ulnar deviate during the backswing, the toe goes down and the club goes inside, and you can hinge the club up a little bit too much too. And then you tend to, you know, pull across the ball and do some other things. So, like, both of those things are very useful in the putting stroke as well. Jason, you've measured your own putting stroke with hack motion?
Yeah. So I remember maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we started talking about this and you mentioned it, and I was like, man, I have not done that. Let me get on that. And yeah, so I did my, I think seven. After you do seven, they're like, you're doing a lot of things we don't like. So not out of the norm for how great of I am as a putter, but I would cut my wrist in the backstroke, and then I would flex it too much in the through stroke. Right. And obviously you don't want to do that. either one of those. And I was doing both, which is you'd almost think they should hopefully offset, but they don't. It also has tempo, which was a huge one for me, because I've always been like a shorter backswing and then like a hit putter. And when I'm on, for me, distance control is fine. Right. But it's like, then I don't make any 5 to 12 footers, because obviously now I have both some of that, and then my tempo is not great. Being able to use it even for myself selfishly has been awesome, because now I'm actually starting to make a couple more putts, which is huge for me. And it's allowing me to find, again, a feel, as crazy as it sounds, it feels like I'm putting with my right oblique.
Okay.
And that helps me to not basically cup the putter in the backswing, and also helps sort out my tempo, which has been awesome. And I really, you know, didn't really think about using the hack motion like that, but it's been awesome. So I've been doing it every other day and it's getting better. I've only gotten to like +1, +2, and that's a couple of those swings now.
Tyson, you've used it with putting?
Yeah, for sure. And I've used it in conjunction with some other tools, you know, like the Tempo Stick Plus. I think it's a lot of fun to, hey, just keep this graph flat line, right? Like, let's just try to keep this graph flat line for this in you know, this player. And like you said earlier, like, the wrists are hard. So, like, the putter's not moving very far. It's not moving very fast. But, a lot of times people will, like Jason's talking about, will be using the wrist more than they feel like they're moving, even in this little 2 mile an hour swing, and they see the graph and they can start to make the change. And I think that's what's so great about the hack motion is that the wrists are hard. It is direct feedback in front of your face on what actually is going on. So maybe it makes it a little easier to make change from the wrist perspective.
Yes. I see a lot of people that think that they're like firm wristed. They're like, they're almost feel like they're locking their wrist to putt because I don't know why they think that's what they should do.
Right.
But like, I'll say, hey, pick that ball up and lob it to me. And I'll be like, okay, now think about what you said. Were your wrist locked when you just lob that ball 10 feet to me?
Right.
No, like your wrist moved a little bit because
yep,
that gives you a little bit of touch and feel. I will say to people, like, we want your wrist to be moving a little bit during the swing. I generally prefer, as a very general pattern, it's different for everyone, feels are different for everyone, but I generally feel I like to see the wrist go into a little bit of flexion in the transition. Like the hands start forward just a little bit before the putter head. It's the tiniest float load in the putting stroke. The putter head is still going back as the wrists start just forward, just that tiny bit. Because that's almost the opposite pattern of like the, I take it back by like carrying the handle back and then I add loft through impact. A lot of people's putters have 4 degrees of loft. The industry standard might be moving down to 3-ish, but people add loft, right? I like people to hit the ball with 1 or 2 degrees of loft at the most. So that requires a little tiny bit of shaft lean. A little float load helps them do that. So, you know, I'll put it on the front wrist, the lead wrist, and I want to see that graph move a couple degrees, 2 or 3 degrees into flexion around the transition and then almost stay there a little bit through the hit, in which case after the hit, it goes into a little bit more extension.
Love that. What do you think about how often do you guys use it in sort of short game chipping wise, chipping and pitching?
That one, I haven't used it a ton just because honestly, there's so many different ways of hitting a chip shot. You could be like, hey, hit me a high one, hit me a low one, and then you can go, okay, here's your high one, here's your low one. Maybe if you're worried about someone, you know, on or deviating too soon, you know, if they're hitting it fat because they're basically hucking the club down, that would be a good way to use that in short game.
Yeah
They haven't added the, I gave feedback a long time ago, I was actually on the beta test team before they were released. And I think I said something back then about how rather than just the angel noise or the like vibration that they've added, I want like electric shocks. I want to like, so when you flip, I just want it to just shock you and you'll stop doing that pretty quickly. Like the dog collar thing. You're like, oh,
yeah. Just zap them.
Just zap the people. Yeah. They haven't added that yet. I don't know. They said something about like lawyers or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then give the coach the ability to turn it up and down, zap them hard or it's just like a little bit.
It's like that psychological experiment where, you know, people kept inflicting more pain on people.
Right. I love it.
I don't think we want to turn a bunch of golf instructors onto that.
How'd your lesson go today? Well, I ended up in the ER.
Shocking.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, guys, I think it's going to wrap it up. Again, thanks everybody for listening. Go ahead and subscribe, share it with a friend. We'll see you next time.
And remember, you can always find us on all social medias at The Spin Access and online at thespinaccess.com.
Talk to you soon.